You're in for a treat. This is Phil's fourth time with us in the last 17 years. And been a little bit of a break since the last time. It's been actually 12 years since he was with us. The last time he was with us, we were in the old building, the South Grand Street building. That's like three churches ago, right? Because we were at Church of Good Shepherd, which was Grace Assembly for a year, and then we were 8 years at St. Vincent's, and then back in our old building. So it's been a while. And a lot has happened in his life. His son is now 14, soon to be 15 in March. He was, I think he had just turned 3. So it's been a while. I was a little bit darker haired back then. A little thinner back then. Yeah, no, actually, I just finished my doctorate at that time. So I guess I had enlarged my ministry at that point doing that doctorate. But Phil ministered today. We had a training and life coaching. And for those who are here, did you enjoy it? It was great. Amen. It was great. Those of you over here didn't care about it. It's all right. It was really good, though. So it was good. But why don't we give him a warm Calvary welcome as he comes on down. Phil, come on down.
That was a lot of information I unloaded this morning, wasn't it? I believe in over-delivering rather than under-delivering. So, I have this overwhelming feeling you guys are just positioned for an incredible breakthrough. There was a lot of pruning that's happened and a lot of stripping away. But I think God has prepared you all for something beyond your imagination. How many know sometimes God strips us of everything so he can entrust us with more things later? The question is, how do we respond to the pruning of the Lord? It's painful. And sometimes he prunes things that we think there's some life there still, but he's looking 10, 20 years down the road. And I know it's been a stripping and pruning away for ourselves in Vermont. How many know Vermont is the least Christianized state in North America? It's an unbelievable mission field, probably one of the hardest places I've ever been. Churches just come and go. Someone warned me before we moved there, said, do you know that's a pastor's burial ground, right, Phil? I said, well, that doesn't include me then, because I'm not a pastor. So, but it's been hard, but we've seen a spiritual shift take place, and it's all happened because of prayer. And you know, my son is here, Elisha, and my wife, Catherine, who's right next to him. Wave your hand, Catherine. She heads up the healing rooms at what we call the Alliance Resource Center, or ARC is the name of the ministry that we have there in Williston. And then Melissa, our friend, I consider my sister, she's like family to us, and she helps head up the worship. So we have the healing rooms, and we have Sozo ministry that happens every week there at ARC. And we believe God has called ARC to be a resource center, a place where we're training, equipping, and sending people out. We don't want to keep people. A lot of pastors don't understand that, so they kind of guard their people. But we want to be a resource to the body of Christ. We want to train and equip people and send them back out. And so that's what we do there at ARC. So we're going to talk about dreams and visions tonight. How many have had some dreams that maybe you want to maybe possibly share a little bit later? How many know the difference between a dream and a vision? Yes, dreams are more symbolic. The people in the dreams, the colors in the dreams, the numbers in the dreams. Dreams are metaphorical. Visions are more literal. An open vision almost needs no interpretation. Like John Paul Jackson having an open vision of the space shuttle exploding. It was so real to him, it shook him to the core, to the point he actually tried calling NASA to warn them about the space shuttle that was about to be launched. They just kind of brushed him aside as some kind of kook. And that was the space shuttle that ended up exploding. But he saw it in an open vision. And he didn't need to interpret that. So I had the privilege, of, as I was sharing earlier, to travel with John Paul Jackson for close to 7 years. And he to me was like a modern-day Daniel or Joseph, the way his gifting to interpret dreams and explain spiritual enigmas and explain visions. And he was just unbelievable. But I, having traveled with him, had opportunity to gain insight and wisdom from him, and I would have to say I inherited something from him. Whereas his was more focused on training and equipping people in the body of Christ, I felt like my call was to take the spiritual gifting God gave me, take it outside the church to win the lost. So that ended up becoming what we called prophetic evangelism. How that all started, we started a home group while we were home, when I was home in Fort Worth, Texas. The church that we belonged to was trying to encourage me for over a year to start a home group. So we started our own home group and thought, well, what do we normally do? What is our strength? Well, it's probably prophetic ministry and dreams and visions. So that's what the home group ended up. We ended up talking about and teaching and training people. And it got so big within a month, we had to move it to the church. We had over 150 people showing up from all over the Fort Worth, Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then God started doing miracles. Just even during the teaching time, people were getting healed. Signs and wonders were breaking out. And this may stretch you. It stretched me to this day. I still ask God, why did you have to do that? Because it caused a lot of problems for me, trying to answer their questions. People were going home, brushing their teeth to go to bed at night, and found out that their fillings were no longer the color they were. They were gold. God was filling people's teeth with gold. People were calling me at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. What in the world is this all about? I said, it's called a sign and a wonder. What are you doing, God? I didn't understand it. And so stuff was breaking out that we just, it was just kind of out of control. God was healing people. People were getting free of demonic oppression. So we thought, this is too good to keep inside a small group. God, how can we take this outside to reach the lost? So we went on a fast for 10, it was supposed to be a 10-day fast, and we were going to pray about, God, how do we take this out public where you can do even more? So we were walking around downtown Fort Worth and went by a Borders bookstore and saw flyers on their window saying, Witchcraft Workshop. Witchcraft Workshop. We went inside to see what was going on. They were targeting the kids from TCU, Texas Christian University, and the other college kids in the area. We went in there, they're doing a workshop on witchcraft, how to do spells, and on and on and on. And it was all college and high school kids. So we thought, this shouldn't be happening here. We started looking at each other, like, what could God do here? So we tried to talk to the manager, and she couldn't meet with us. So we went home, and we called her on the telephone and said, we see you're doing a workshop, hosting a workshop on witchcraft. We'd like to come and do our own workshop. We didn't even think this through very well. She says, what do you do? And we're both, me and my friend are on, he's on the other phone, I'm on the other phone, and we looked at each other like, what do we do? I said, well, we're dream interpreters. She went, oh my gosh, oh wow. And I looked at my friend like, and she said, come to my office tomorrow at 10 a.m., we can talk. She hung up the phone. We looked at each other like, wow, now what? So we showed up, went into her office, and she had a dream, and we started interpreting her dream, and she completely came unglued, sobbing. Her mom was with her. God healed her relationship with her mom right there in the office. And she looked at us, and she said, next month, And she put us on the calendar. And she says, we'll market you guys. We'll market what you're doing. And we'll take care of everything. Just come on that date and do your workshop. So we showed up. And we showed up early. She comes running out all excited. She showed us the flyer. Come for a night of dream interpretation and spiritual readings, she said. I hope that's okay. I added that for you guys. Spiritual readings. Here, my friend Steve and I are with these young people that we wanted to train and equip, and they're looking at us. Phil, Steve, what does that mean? What do we do? And we looked at each other like, I don't know. Then she showed us where we were going to be doing it, towards the back of the bookstore, where they had sofas, they had tables and chairs all set up for us. And we looked at each other and we said, spiritual readings. We're just going to prophesy to people. Give them a prophetic word. So that's what we did. We brought our own worship leader from our church, and he played keyboards, and he did worship music without the lyrics. So it sounded real mystical. We named ourselves the Kurios Group. They didn't know what it meant. It means Lord. And so we weren't coming under the banner of a ministry or a church or anything. We were dream interpreters. And so we showed up, and it went so well. Within a month, they kicked the witchcraft people out. They said, we found the real thing, and they booked us every month. And after 6 months, she came and she approached us and said, would you come twice a month? We said, why? She said, well, we found out every time you guys are in here, our business doubles. So we started coming twice a month. And word spread of what we were doing there. And pretty soon Starbucks was calling. Other coffee shops were calling. Would you come and do that at our store? And it went crazy. And then pretty soon we're getting invitations to teach and train people how to do prophetic evangelism. We were going all over the world teaching and training people. So that's how this whole dreams and visions thing got started. It was an accident. We didn't mean for it to happen this way. But how many know everybody dreams? It's a great open door to share the gospel and demonstrate the gospel to people. And so that's how this whole thing started. And then doing prophetic ministry. What the dream interpretation part was meant to set the table to deliver more of the presence of God to whoever was sitting in front of us. So we would interpret the dream for somebody. We would diagram it. As they're sharing the dream, we're highlighting the symbols that are in the dream, and then how we came to the conclusion that we did. And then we would turn the paper around and give it to them and ask them, did this speak to you? And 9 times out of 10, yes, absolutely, that did. That was right on. And then we'd say, this is the second part that we always did. Do you mind if I tell you a few more things that I see when I look at you? They never said no. And then we would, with words of knowledge and prophetic insight and wisdom, start speaking right into the person that they are, spirit to spirit, right to their heart, unlocking their heart and healing the past and releasing them into a destiny. We found later on, we were helping call the next generation into their future by using prophetic ministry. It was all about them and who God designed them to be, and prophetically we were calling them into their future. We had high school kids showing up and sharing their dream, and then we'd start speaking into their life, and their buddy would be right next to them, elbowing them, see, dude, I told you, dude. I told you, dude. And they were all so excited about what they were hearing. And the crazy thing is, they thought they were coming to a New Age event. Some of the ones that were coming up were pastors' kids, thinking they're going to a New Age thing without their parents knowing. One evening, at the start of the evening, my friend and I sat in the spiritual readings section on the sofa. In comes a gentleman with his wife and their two kids, and they sat down. My friend Steve looks at me, I look at him, and we go. He was a pastor thinking he was coming to a psychic reading. Desperate because of a decision he needed to make regarding his future. We started giving him his spiritual reading. Within about 1 minute, he realized, and he looked at us and said, "You're Christians, aren't you?" We said, "Yes." We said, "You thought you're coming to a psychic reading, didn't you?" "Yes." He dropped to his knees and asked for God's forgiveness and apologized to his family. And he rededicated his life back to the Lord. And he got his spiritual reading, along with Sheriff Jesus busting him. So that was my introduction to prophetic evangelism. It was started on accident out of sheer frustration and anger that the witchcraft people were targeting the next generation, and we thought God needed to do something. So we just kind of took a leap of faith at an open door of an opportunity to bring the gospel of the kingdom into a secular venue, and that launched what became known as prophetic evangelism. And it's opened doors for me all over the world. And I shared with the group this morning, it got me on a secular radio station interpreting dreams for callers and training the people that were hosting the radio show. It's called the Charlie, Ernie, and Lisa Radio Show in Northern Vermont and Northern New England. Most popular radio talk show on the radio at that hour in the morning. And so God opened that door. And once they heard about a life coach that interprets dreams, and it was much more than that. Using kingdom principles and prophetic ministry in a non-religious way to touch the hearts of people and help inspire them and to liberate them, that God knows who they are and He's got a great future for their lives. And so that's what that was all about. Now, how many know the enemy is the prince and power of the air? He wants to rule the airwaves. So for me to get on a secular radio station like that, at that hour, the most popular radio talk show, that was a kingdom breakthrough for our part of New England. The enemy did not like what was happening. And I was on there for 3.5 years. And so that's why I was trying to encourage everybody this morning. You have a larger life waiting for you to step into. And much of it will take you out of your comfort zone, just like me. Think if that was you, going on a radio talk show, they open it up for callers to call in with their dreams. The caller shares their dream, and then the radio hosts are looking at you. That was sticking my neck way out there, trusting God is going to deliver. And He always did. So I want to just let you know, how many adrenaline junkies are out there? I like stepping into the unknown. I like an adventure. But how many know at times it's nerve-wracking? When you realize it's not just you sticking your neck out there hoping you can interpret the dream. There's a spiritual war going on in the airwaves over what you're doing. So being conscious of that at the same time. We're going to launch into this here. If you have paper to take notes, I would encourage you to take some notes. What about dreams? Let me share one and see what you think. This is a very, very short one. You ready? This is from a friend of mine. Actually, he used to even travel with me. He was originally from England. Very gifted young man. In this dream, he says, I walked into a big field. Imagine if this is you, you're on the radio. Walked into a big field, there were many big fruit trees. I noticed one had strawberries the size of watermelons. I climbed up to take one. I opened it, and the fruit was infested with ants. The end. Walked into a big field. There were many big fruit trees. I noticed one had strawberries the size of watermelons. I climbed up to take one. I opened it, and the fruit infested with ants. What do you think? One at a time. Yeah, that's very good. There's more. Yeah, so if you take a dream and you start at the very beginning and start identifying the symbols, walked into a big field, which is broad open space, more opportunity, just like you said. Many big fruit trees. What are trees often symbolic of? Remember, dreams are symbolic. The things in the dreams are symbolic. What could trees be symbolic of? Anyone else? Who said that? Yeah, leaders. And supposedly, he said, many big fruit trees. There was lots of fruit. Strawberries the size of melons. Climbed up it to take one. He opened it, and the fruit was infested. Yeah? Very good, yes. But in the outset, taking a look at it, wow, lots of big fruit. But once he climbed up it, took one, opened it, it wasn't good fruit. So that's exactly the way I interpreted it for him. I said, there's opportunity presenting itself to you, and you checked out the leadership, and there was something wrong in the leadership. He about dropped the phone. He said, my wife and I are deciding whether to take this position in an organization that could be very, very good for us and for my family. He said, but he had a check in his spirit, then he had that dream. So the Lord sent it at the right time. Dreams are often like a gift being sent from heaven or a letter being sent by God himself. And you just need to open up the envelope and see what God has to say. Keeping this in mind, the dreams we have today often speak of things going on today. Things God might want to address. Maybe a warning. Could be any number of things. Wasn't that, you talk about the timing of the Lord. It was unbelievable. So you guys are good. And I want to say this at the outset too regarding prophetic ministry. How many know a lot of our fathers, prophetic fathers, have gone home to be with the Lord? Mine, John Paul Jackson, spiritual dad to me, and others have all gone home to be with the Lord. There's still a few out there. But my friend and I, as we're getting ready to launch some prophetic training, but when John Paul passed away, the Lord told me there's an opportunity now to have a much broader impact out there. John Paul's DNA is all over me and what I do, but my expression was different than his. His was more to the church. Mine was to equip the church, but to be out in the marketplace. Nothing gave me more excitement than to go like on the radio station for 3.5 years to bring it out there amongst the lost. And at the Borders bookstore, that was, once that thing took off, it was so exciting to see what God was doing. Then to look up and find the biggest psychic fairs across the country and then book a booth right there next to the tarot card readers to bring the real deal out there where the counterfeit is king. And that's what we want to do everywhere we go. That's what ARC wants to be about, is to train and equip people to go head-to-head with what the world is looking to and give them the real thing. And prophetic ministry is not about the big names anymore and the superstars. Now it's a grassroots movement, the everyday person like me and you, to rise up wherever God has planted us and bring the real thing to a world that's looking for truth. It's not about titles. I am a prophet. I am an intergalactic minister. I've got an apostle business card. I got a prophetic business card. I'm an evangelist. I'm a pastor. You know, all the titles. And that's, I'm not knocking people that want to call themselves apostles or prophets. The reality is, everybody that tells me they're an apostle, I'm looking for, where's the evidence? I don't see it. People try to tell me I'm a prophet. I don't consider myself a prophet. I'm just a minister that wants to do what Jesus did and leave it, everything else up to him. I've got spiritual gifts, but God uses me in different ways everywhere I go, every place he takes me. So we're titling it Rethinking the Prophetic. It's not about the person with the big gift. We want Jesus to be famous. So it's about presence-based ministry now, not about titles and names. It's the everyday person bringing the carrying, hosting the presence of heaven. So everywhere they go, they're not seeing me, the gifted person, or you, the gifted person. They're sensing Jesus is in our midst. Does that make sense? So that's the way we're approaching it. It's presence-based ministry. It's not a gift or the person or any kind of superstar. So rethinking the prophetic. We're known not just by their gifting or gift, but by the presence of the Holy Spirit that we carry. And every time they connect with us, they're experiencing the love of the Father and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that be the same for all of you. Wherever it is that God sends you, whatever it is that he's called you to do, it's about you carrying his presence with you. And every time they encounter you, they're experiencing the overwhelming love of the Father. Remember, I said this morning, and I'll say it again and again, the Holy Spirit is in you for your sake, but he's upon you for their sake. Just as it was with Jesus. In Luke 4:18, which I'll be going into quite a bit more depth tomorrow morning on Luke 4:18, but Jehovah Yahweh in Isaiah, where Luke 4:18 came from, Yahweh was enwrapped in the presence of the Spirit. Jesus, when he came in Luke 4:18, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Holy Spirit had enveloped him completely. So as he came in there, the presence of heaven was all over him. And I believe, as just before we jump into dreams and visions, this is for a great, great purpose, to understand dreams and visions. Like we said, everybody dreams. People are having spiritual experiences that they can't figure out and they can't understand. And I believe God is not wanting to raise up an army of loose cannon prophetic people that have been to a training and had hands laid on them. That does not mean they're prophets. That does not mean they're entitled to better or open doors or to be treated differently. I believe God is wanting to raise up a generation of prophetic people that are in the mold of a Daniel, a Joseph, or an Esther. Ambassador-type quality, that everywhere they go, the ministry of reconciliation is flowing through them to bring hope and healing to a broken generation. So that's why I'm bringing what I'm bringing, but it's not for the purpose for anyone to be a loose cannon out there trying to save the world, but we want to raise up ambassadors that are true representatives of the kingdom of heaven everywhere God sends them. That said, let's jump into this. You know you were created to hear God's voice, don't you? How many would say they hear God's voice, they hear him clearly every day? How many want to hear his voice clearly every day? I believe you're going to. You need to, or I'll force you. I'm kidding. Fivefold ministry. You will hear his voice. I'm kidding. See this? Blood and fire. Watch out. Actually, people, when I walk into a church or even walk into a store, they look at this and go, what's wrong with that guy? Blood and fire. And he says he's a Christian. This is actually an inner city ministry in downtown, from downtown Atlanta called Blood and Fire Ministries. This slogan actually came from the Salvation Army. They didn't know it at the time, but Blood and Fire Ministries, I was very connected to this homeless ministry in downtown Atlanta where John Paul and I ministered quite often. All right, let's develop a healthy respect for dreams and visions. God is a supernatural God who communicates with his people through supernatural means. The Bible refers to dreams or visions or their variations over 200 times. So it must be important to God, don't you think? In the Jewish culture, spiritual dreams were valued as divine encounters with God. Jewish bedtime customs include inviting God to come and speak to them through dreams. Did you know that? Hebrew language makes little distinction between dreams and visions. Whether it was an angelic visitation, a dream, a vision, or other prophetic experience, it was all considered to be supernatural communication with God. In Daniel 7:1, the words dream and vision are used interchangeably in Daniel's prophetic experience. Old Testament dream encounters, Joseph, Daniel, Jacob, Nebuchadnezzar, Solomon, Job. New Testament dream and vision encounters, Joseph, earthly father of Jesus, at least four directive dreams in Jesus' first few years of life. The wise men, Pilate's wife, Paul, Peter, and John. Numbers 12:6 says, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. Both Christians and unbelievers received dreams in the Bible and throughout history. The unbelievers, King Abimelech, the Midian army, Pharaoh's butler and baker, Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Pilate's wife, wise men. God is always speaking to humanity, testifying of his presence and love. Dreams are just one way that he chooses to show himself to a lost and dying world. And there's many other historians, Justin Martyr, Tertullian, Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, and others. As I said, dreams are symbolic in nature. Visions are more literal. The colors in dreams, the numbers in dreams. How many would say they dream regularly that they're aware of? How many remember their dreams all the time? Well, you guys are, that's good. I have this, I could be having a dream that is just so unbelievable that actually, while I'm dreaming, how many have this experience where you're watching the dream, it's almost like watching a TV show. You're watching it all play out and you're thinking to yourself, this is so good, I know I'm going to remember this one. And as soon as I get up, what was that dream? Darn it! And then John Paul used to encourage us. He actually got these pens made, the Streams Ministry name on it, for people to write their dreams. You know, pray, ask God to wake you in the night after you have your dream, and make notes. I would make notes in the middle of the night and get up in the morning, turn the light on, and look at the notes I made. I needed supernatural interpretation. Then I tried recording myself. That was almost just as bad. Like, what in the world was I saying? So none of it worked out real well for me. Let me give you some modern day examples of dreams. How about recurring dreams? Anyone? Recurring dreams? Recurring dream can be an indicator that change is trying to manifest in your life. Once you either establish the new behavior or take care of the issues, these recurring dreams often will stop. And that's not 100%, but that's very often what is going on. How about flying without an airplane? Just flying. Yeah? These dreams indicate higher destinies for you to fulfill. You have the creativity and ability to rise above situations, also showing that your spiritual life is beginning to take off. Does that make sense? Being chased. We talked about that one. I gave an example earlier today. Being chased. How many have had those type of dreams? Being chased, it's showing that something wants to stop you from something good. You have a destiny to help others. That is why something is trying to stop you. Issues or fears you run from run after you. Time to confront the issues and fears. Then often these dreams or nightmares will end. How about being naked? Shows that you're open and transparent with others. Most likely people feel safe around you and they may even want to talk with you about their problems. It's just like what you see is what it is. Nothing hidden. How about being in school? Being in school indicates you are in a time of learning new things. This is a valuable time in developing yourself for your life's purpose. Teeth coming loose or falling out. Yeah?
I had that before. Someone told me because I'm trying to bite off more than I can chew.
That could be part of it too. Indicates the need to get wisdom or advice about your situation. Can be. And these aren't all 100%. I don't like people saying this is 100% what it means, your dream. You take what you're sensing and feel like you're getting wisdom you're getting from God to give that interpretation. But really, I like to interpret it this way. I'll give the interpretation and ask them, does that speak to you? Does that resound as truth to you? Leave it up to them. If they say maybe not, then ask more questions regarding the dream and then give it another shot. Yes, Giselle? Pregnancy? Yeah. Having a baby or being pregnant, babies are symbolic of new life. They're usually not literal, but instead symbolic of something new coming. New job, career, opportunity, something creative is coming to you. Babies are often also symbolic of gifts being presented to giving, gifts coming to you. I was going to do another dream. Oh, how about, these are some fairly new ones that came up in my interpreting dreams. I called this one the stupid smartphone. Where in the dream you can't get the numbers to display or to make the call, or your fingers are too fat, or your call keeps dropping. That's what someone was experiencing in a dream. They were trying to call and couldn't get the numbers. The fingers were too fat or the call kept dropping. What that means is you may be feeling your thoughts, opinions, or feelings are not being heard or considered by someone else. In other words, bad communication is happening. You aren't connecting in the right way. What about pets and dreams? Let me say bring this point to you also. That's very important. You can get books on what symbols mean. I've got at least a half dozen of them. And John Paul told me early on, he said, son, it's always good to get more wisdom regarding symbols and what they possibly can mean. But, and I teach this everywhere I go, every individual has their own unique dream language that God uses by their own unique life experiences that they've been through. For one person, as a child that got bit by a dog, has a fear of dogs, God will use a dog in their dream to symbolize an enemy coming to harass them. To another person who grew up as a dog being a wonderful companion and friend, God will use a dog to symbolize in their dreams a friend coming alongside to bring comfort or protection. So you can get as much wisdom regarding symbols as you can. Ultimately, you have to hear the Holy Spirit for every individual because they all have their own unique dream language. Yes?
What if you can't move or speak?
You're kind of frozen? And what was happening? Was something coming after you or trying to scare you? I had that happen in the home that I was... I started a halfway house for drug addicts that wanted to get their lives together. And I'm telling you, the warfare was so intense. I had this dream where this horrible-looking beast was standing at the foot of my bed. It was like 8 feet tall. I could smell it. It was horrendous. And all of a sudden, he just started falling forward. And his hands went like this and got my throat. And I was frozen. I couldn't move. I couldn't scream. I shared that with John Paul. He says, that's that choking demon. Like, nah, no big deal. That's that choking demon. It's spiritual warfare coming against you. But I was able to say the word Jesus at a certain point, and boom, it was gone. Never came back. Yeah, that's a pretty common situation there. Yes?
My wife will say there are times that she'll wake me up, she'll keep praying and talk. Are you doing warfare? Is that part of the same dream that you're doing warfare?
Yes, you can. Yeah. Yeah. There's warfare dreams. There's healing dreams. There's deliverance dreams. There's calling dreams. There's what we call body dreams that are triggered by medication or a young lady that might be pregnant. At a certain point, we tell young ladies that are pregnant, you need to be very, very cautious with your dream interpretation now because you're dreaming for two. The baby's dream is connecting with the mother's dream. So the chemical changes going on in the body. The deliverance dreams. My friend Steve was having this dream of this particular minister. He was at this church in the dream. He was at this church, and this minister that specializes a lot in healing and deliverance left the platform and started walking down the aisle in the dream. And my friend Steve was sitting right in the aisle, in an aisle seat. And when that minister got near him, a demon manifest and left him in the dream. But as soon as the demon manifest and left him, he had to jump out of the bed, run to the bathroom, and was releasing some demons. It happened. He left the bathroom, climbed back in bed, and he was still trembling from head to toe with the presence of the Holy Spirit all over him. It woke his wife up, his trembling. She rolled over and said, Steve, do you feel the Holy Spirit? Yes, dear, I do. Go back to sleep. I'll tell you what happened in the morning. It was a deliverance dream he was having. So through a dream, he got free of some demonic oppression. We can have those type of dreams. We can have warfare dreams where God is unfolding the spiritual warfare that's going on and triggers the person that's having the dream to start praying in the spirit and do warfare. That happens a number of times with me as well. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I think I was in England. My friend Steve and I, in our hotel room, we started trying to go to sleep, and we're having these horrible feelings that something is very, very dirty here. So we went around the room praying over the doorway, over the windows, on the bed. And as soon as we touched the bed, we felt like the Lord said, look a little closer. Lifted up the mattress, and under the mattress were pornographic magazines. We got rid of them and were able to go to sleep and sleep in peace. It's like you're describing warfare. Yeah. Yep. I've got a lot of sample dreams. But any questions regarding dreams or types of dreams, symbols? Houses are symbolic of, what do you think houses could be symbolic of? Say that. Your personal life, your existence. If you have a dream where you realize in the dream, you realize you're in the house you grew up in. Oftentimes the Lord will release those type of dreams when there's some foundational issues back to your childhood that need some closure, might need to be dealt with. Standing on the back porch of the house, looking out, is symbolic of looking at the past. Standing on your front porch, looking out, speaks of looking towards the future. A house that you realize you're in, the paint is peeling, and it's very weathered and looking old. It's symbolic of your life needing an outpouring of renewal. Painters in a dream often speak of prophetic ministers bringing renewal everywhere they go. Vehicles, types of cars, colors of cars. Cars often speak of your vocation or your ministry. Your car being in the shop getting fixed is God letting you know there's your ministry, your vocation is in need of some repair of some kind, healing of some kind. Snakes in dreams. How many have had dreams where there's snakes? Snakes, what does a snake look like? This is the way John Paul used to describe it. What does a snake look like? A long tail. The enemy, snakes are symbolic of lies from the enemy. Lies and deception from the enemy. Oftentimes people will have dreams where they're in their bed and they look on the sides of the bed and there's snakes all around their bed. The enemy bringing lies and deception to interrupt your rest and intimacy with him. Bedroom is a place of intimacy. Bathrooms are symbolic of where you go to get rid of your junk. Deliverance, getting free, getting rid of junk in your life. Being down in the basement means dealing with foundational issues that need some care. Being up in a basement, going through boxes. Basement is symbolic of your mind, your memories, your history. Remember this, history's up here, destiny's in here. often a conflict going on. God has put a sense of destiny in your heart, but it's your intellect, it's your memory, it's your history oftentimes that will bring conflict against what God is trying to bring to pass. Attic. Let me look at some more. Anyone have a dream being in a hotel? If you ever do, it's a place, it's a temporary place. It's meant to be a short time, a short season before moving to something more permanent. Walking down a hallway in a building. You're not going into one room or another. You're walking down a hallway. You're in a time of transition, but you haven't made a decision yet where you're going. Being in an elevator, going up in being promotion or being brought down lower, depending on where you're going in that dream. Any other? How about alligators? Alligator dreamers? What do you think an alligator could be symbolic of that shows up in your dream? What do they look like? They haven't changed much from the dinosaur age. So an alligator, crocodile showing up in your dream is symbolic of an ancient or evil out of the past, a demonic presence that's been in the family line for generations upon generations that needs to get taken care of. What could guns be symbolic of? If you're in the dream, you're being chased and somebody's shooting at you. Spiritual warfare. But if you're picking up your gun, and John Paul had this dream where someone was shooting at him and he got behind a tree and he pulled out his gun and pointed it at the enemy trying to shoot him. He pulls the trigger and the bullet just went, need more prayer. You're not prepared for the warfare. Pardon me? Then you're a victim of spiritual warfare. What about a death in a dream? I remember we were part of the Vineyard movement in Southern California, and intercessors were having dreams of John Wimber dying. And what is often very typical of intercessors? Oh my God, they get on the phone. John's going to die. Pretty soon there was rumors spreading through the whole Vineyard movement. John Wimber's about to pass away. And then another prophet shows up and rebuked the intercessors. Death in a dream is only symbolic. It's not a literal death. It's a chapter closing and a new one opening. A season ending and a new one getting ready to begin. So you have dreams of a loved one or a family member passing away. That is God saying a season's about to end or a chapter's about to close and a new one's about to begin. So for the Vineyard and John Wimber, a season was ending, a new one was beginning. That's exactly what happened. Things exploded shortly, and the Vineyard was never the same. And it was. A season ended. John Wimber gets up on a Sunday night and said he had an encounter with the Lord. He was all teary as he was sharing this. He said, the Lord came to me and said, John, I've seen your ministry. Now I want to show you mine. I want my church back. And he surrendered it back to the Lord, and things exploded spiritually. Signs, wonders, people in a short amount of time were flying in from all over the world because they were hearing about the miracles that were happening. But it was a dream, the intercessors having of John dying. Yes, that was somebody that you know. Having that type of dream. That kind of goes along with the dream that I shared this morning of this Iraqi war vet that came back from Iraq and was having tormenting dreams. Not a Christian. Something was chasing him in this dream. Something horrible chasing him. And he called in at the radio station as I was interpreting dreams. Long story short, I shared with him and then was able to talk with him afterwards. Told him that the fears you run from run to you, the issues you run from run to you. And I taught him, because he was having that same dream every single night, to the point that he thought he was literally going insane. They medicated him. He lost his marriage and began drinking heavily. And I coached him on how to turn around in the dream and face that was chasing him, and the torment ended. That night, the issues we run from run to you till they're confronted. Yes. In the dream, What do you guys think? I'm going to start throwing some things back at you to get you. Do you realize the future belongs to right brain people? We've gone from the industrial and agricultural age to the information age. We're now in a different phase where right brain people are thriving because the need for creativity and innovation out there in the marketplace, entire departments dedicated to innovation and creativity. We need to all learn to, depending on what we're doing, there is a time for left brain thinking, being analytical and strategic. Then there's a time where we're interpreting dreams. You've got to shift over to right brain thinking to start thinking more symbolic and creative. What was the question? I forgot. Yeah, what do you guys think? Start thinking metaphorically. And symbols are interpreted by the context of the dream. The other parts of the dream will help bring definition and clarity as to what certain things might mean. I don't know. It could be some people dream of slipping. They're leaving their house or their work and slipping. I've had them share that with me. And I asked this one person, do you feel like your future's slipping away from you? He went, oh my God, yes, I have that fear. And that's what it meant for him. But I don't know what that might mean for you. I don't know. I would put that to prayer, definitely. Does that happen often? Oh, it could be something very simple. It's probably not even anything bad necessarily, but yes. Let's see. Are we ready to do that? What? And just a couple minutes. Is that okay? I just want to make sure that everyone. I've answered any more questions regarding symbols. Any other symbols that you might, maybe you have on a regular basis, or any types of dreams that you might have? Yeah. Red bugs. What kind of bugs? And what are they doing? Wow. What do you guys think? Go back to the very beginning of the dream. She's sweeping, but where was she sweeping from? She was sweeping in the bedroom, right by the bed. What are beds symbolic of? Intimacy and rest. I have this sense that in much of your life, there's been the enemy disrupting your equanimity, your peace of mind, and trying to rob from you peace and intimacy with the Heavenly Father. But the great thing is you were sweeping and cleaning that area of intimacy, and you're shielding your son from what had been harassing you probably for much of your young life. And that's as if you were sweeping. It's symbolic of spiritual warfare, doing prayer ministry, cleansing that part of your life. Bedroom, symbolic of a place of peace and intimacy. And you were going up the stairs, going up in the realm of the spirit, and then coming back down and cleansing your living space, which is a great, great thing. And it's symbolic of you doing cleansing prayer, so to speak, and shielding the next generation from what you had to deal with. Does that make sense? Yeah, I've had those before. It was bad. And where was this again? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's like you were doing warfare in that dream of something that wanted to kill you. Yeah. Yeah. And how long ago was this? How many have had that kind of dream before, where you wake up and wonder, did that really happen? It was because it seemed so real. And you were doing warfare. Were you a Christian at the time? Have you had more like that? Yeah, yeah. Do you consider yourself a man of war? I know, Gideon. Mighty warrior. And I don't... Most people would look at you and maybe not pick up on that, but as you're sharing, I saw the name Gideon written right over the top of your head, and that within you and your capability, you are a man of war that God is wanting to release and raise up, and you and your wife are going to be able to reap a harvest that others would not be able to because of your own unique life experiences. And the strength that you have in you has been forged through testing and trial, and you have an ability in you that the enemy hates and wants to destroy. And that's why, I don't even know if you're aware of it, but I have a sense that the enemy's tried to take you out at least 3 different times. But God said no, that but for such a time as this have I raised you up, and I'm getting ready to use you in ways that are going to astound you. You and your wife have a mantle of anointing and calling upon you to reap a harvest where others fear to tread. And so God bless you both. Again, by your own unique life experiences, God will send dreams to you that will help bring insight into what your future might hold for you. So let's see. Was there one more? Did you have some? Do we want to start interpreting dreams? Caden, do you want to share yours? Okay, stand up and we're all going to do this as a group now, okay? Pretend that you're at Borders Bookstore. So stand up and share it real loud so everybody can hear, because we're all going to interpret it together. How long ago did you have this dream? Okay. The real estate that you owned? Your property? Uh-huh. Looking down at it? That was it? Thank God, huh? What do you guys think? You have the interpretation? It could be. Any other thoughts? What about that talking raccoon? What are houses symbolic of? Your life, your existence. Lava was coming down. Yeah, it could be. A threat to their family's existence. Coming down towards them, towards the house. And then a little bit of mischief on the side. His friends throwing wood into the lava to make more fire. So maybe a warning dream for you to pray for the safety of your life and your family's life, and praying against the enemy coming to add to the problem. It's a good dream. Okay, Caden. Do one at a time, though.
The first one, well, me, my brother, and 3 of my cousins were in a parking lot. And there were 2 buildings on each side. One was, like, good, the other was bad. And we kept trying to build buildings.
And what was it again? Buildings? What do you guys think? What are parking lots for? What are cars symbolic of? Vacation or ministry. Park the car. 2 sides, good and evil. The maze. Maybe. How long ago did you have that one?
7 years ago.
That time in your life, maybe really looking for direction. Which direction do I go? And thinking that you're going the right direction, realizing you're going the wrong direction. But at least you were picking up with the reality that you were picking the wrong direction. So you could always correct it. And so it's not necessarily bad, but you were aware of it, which is good. It's a lot of young people aren't aware of making that they're going the wrong direction, or maybe they want to go the wrong direction, but you in your heart wanted to go the right direction. And there will always be those times where you're going, where am I? I made the wrong choice here. But it's good.
Picked up the car and started smashing it on the road.
Sounds like a Marvel dream. What do you guys think? I'm not 100% sure on that one. Yeah. Could be, yeah. Yeah. But isn't this great of this generation being aware of their dreams and taking them serious, that they have some kind of meaning from the Lord? Could be very simple, but thank God for them being aware that God is, you know, that dreams are important. Do you realize the West is the least concerned about the dreams they have versus other countries and other out in the East? They, as a family, oftentimes they'll sit around and talk about the dreams they had in the morning when they get up to have coffee or tea. They'll talk about, what did God say to you last night and through your dream? That's how serious they take them. Yes. Well, say that one more time for my memory.
Okay.
Oh. Wow. Away from him, whoever that was. What would you guys say? Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, so she was dealing with foundational issues, possibly for their own life, with her regarding her life, and the enemy was trying to stop it, which is a good thing. So I would, if I was her, I'd continue to pray into that, and I would get intercessors to help pray for her as she's dealing with issues that could affect her destiny and her future, dealing with foundational issues. And what would you attribute it to? Oftentimes it could have connections to your past. That stuff is still being dealt with. And it's probably connected in some way, and you're processing it in the nighttime. Have you ever wondered this? Why does God give us destiny dreams in the night? Because if he told it to you during the day, you wouldn't believe him. Or you would say, that can't happen. That's not true. So in the nighttime, in the night seasons, oftentimes the Lord will minister to us, and he'll sow dreams, destiny dreams, into our hearts, into our lives in the nighttime, and we wake up realizing that something happened, and you begin to pick up on the fact that something was sown into you in the night season, and you're going to begin walking that direction to see it come to pass. So that's why they're so important, and the night seasons are so important to the Lord. If you look at, again, in the Old Testament, it was very common, in the New Testament in the same way. And the more in tune you and I become with how God speaks to us and our dream language and what God is saying to us, the more we get in tune with that, we'll have a greater impact with those God will send our way that need help with their dreams. And I believe Graham Cook, when he said, God is troubling the lost with dreams in record numbers today. We just aren't in tune with what God is doing. God is doing just as much with the lost as he is with the church. But he's preparing you and I to cross paths with these people. But it's going to take us taking serious the training that God wants to give us regarding this. Yes. And who was this? Youth. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. He is giving dreams to the youth. Yes. Because they can't ignore him in the night. They try. Yes. Any more questions regarding dreams? I know time is running away from us again. But go ahead. You, yeah. That's not uncommon. What would you say, guys? Dream within a dream. It's not uncommon. It's pretty normal. You can even have an open vision in a dream. Where the dream pauses, you have an open vision, you see it, take note of it, the vision ends, and the dream picks back up where it left off. So I have a sense there's an unbelievably creative part to you that's still yet to come alive fully. So I would tuck that away and say, God, have your way, and activate that part of who I am to really come alive. I don't know if there was something in your past that maybe quenched that. I know for me, creativity was squashed out at a young age, but then God has restored and healed that part of me, and where it's really taken off, and it's why I'm doing what I'm doing today. It's because of the restoration process that I went through. And I want to say this for this church. Whatever your future holds is not going to come about by traditional means. I'm not saying he's calling you to be weird. But I think it's going to take prophetic evangelism, very creative prophetic evangelism, maybe going to places you normally wouldn't go to, like Catherine and Melissa and some others felt the urge to go to University of Vermont Hospital and just go to rooms and ask, would you like prayer? And God has just opened the doors. People are saying yes now more than ever. And they're having divine encounters, divine opportunity where God is showing up by just going out and doing something spontaneous. What I started doing at psychic fairs, I had pastors calling, hey, what's going on? What are you doing these days? Oh, I'm interpreting dreams at psychic fairs. What? They just don't have a grid for it. And the stuff at the bookstores and Starbucks coffee shops were going so well, we thought, what else could we do? So we decided, our home group, we raised money and bought, I think it was like 7 djembe drums. And we thought, where is the most demonic, out of control part of Fort Worth? Sundance Square, where all the bars are. So we sent intercessors down there to pray along the sidewalks in Sundance Square. And then we picked a night that we would go and prophesy on instruments. We said, no Bibles, no preaching, prophesy on instruments. Scripture said that when the unbeliever steps in where everybody's prophesying, they'll take note that God is there and fall down on their knees. We said, let's test that scripture. So they went, the djembe drummers set up, and they just started prophesying on drums. Pretty soon people heard the drums. They're looking, where's that coming from? They started gathering around and just started watching this team of djembe drummers. No preaching. Then we hear someone, there's like 100 people around the drums just watching. Anybody that got near, it's almost as if they got arrested by the Holy Spirit. They couldn't move. They were just watching. Then we hear a guy screaming down the road. He's running towards the drums, and he's screaming that he's the king of Sundance Square, and he can dance and sing like nobody else. And as soon as he got near the drums, he stops, and he's looking around. And then he blurts out, you know Jesus loves me. He was a crack addict. And he asked, what is this? And we just smiled. Remember we said no preaching? We just smiled. He got a little closer to the drums. Then he drops down to his knees and screams, God, forgive me, and gave his life to the Lord. Nobody preached at him, but they were prophesying on the djembe drums as they were felt led by the Holy Spirit. Then we had young artists set up on both sides of the drum area, and we told them, look at the people and see who God is pointing out to you and sketch a drawing for that person. And here's a 16-year-old girl sees a woman, sketched a picture for her, and then called her over and asked her, does this picture mean anything to you? And she fell down on her knees crying because it's a picture of her doing something. I'll just tell you the story behind this. She was sexually abused from 4 years old till she was 18. And to get away from the torment that she was feeling emotionally, she would lock herself in a closet and fantasize about running on a beach hand in hand with Jesus. Guess what picture that 16-year-old girl sketched? Of her on a beach running hand in hand with Jesus. And she got the beginning of her healing started there, and she ended up giving her life to the Lord. But again, from unconventional, out-of-the-box ministry. And I believe this church is called to out-of-the-box, unconventional ministry and worship. You have the talents and the skills here to take it to the next level. You've been through a horrible pruning process, but God has set it up for such a time as this. And I believe he's getting ready to move in an unconventional, out-of-the-box type of way. And you're not going to do it without the next generation, and they need to be a part of whatever it is God is unfolding here. But it's going to take you. Remember, I said John Wimber spells faith, R-I-S-K. Because you may not be you may be misunderstood at the beginning, but people will begin to catch your heart and the vision that God is giving you for your future. I'm excited for you guys. And I think we'd be willing to come and do more training for you when we have more time to help get you out there and even go out there and maybe go where others won't go and bring some prophetic evangelism out there if you'd like that. Just throwing that out there. The potential's here, and I don't know if Catherine and Melissa would agree. It's not shocking to me that God will pick this church and where you guys are. Just like God, people would say, would God move in Vermont? Could the Holy Spirit move in Vermont? It's almost like with Jesus, could anything good come out of Nazareth? But the eyes of the Lord are here looking at you guys and then this location. And I want to encourage you that you haven't been forgotten here. I'll mention that again tomorrow probably, just to encourage everybody. You're not called to be quote-unquote normal. Secretly, I'm just looking for a group to join me in my rebellion. I haven't done anything normal. Everybody just kind of shakes their head. Yep, Phil would do that. Any other questions before I want to pray for you all? This kind of went a direction I wasn't actually planning, but just think of this tonight as just like the beginning of something. It's a big topic. I've been interpreting dreams for people for over 20 years. And the more I've gotten into it, the more I realize this whole thing is deeper than I could have ever imagined. And prophetic evangelism, it can it can go, I mean, there's no limits to it, and it's all up to your creativity. For me, I just stumbled into it, going to a bookstore. Who would ever thought, go to a bookstore and interpret dreams for people and give them spiritual readings? Who would ever thought that? I never would have. Just kind of stumbled into it. And this whole thing can go a whole different direction, can go to a whole nother level. So I just want to encourage you, be creative and see what God might unfold for you. But again, your gift will make room for you, but how serious are you taking your spiritual gift? I remember watching a documentary on a man out there that John Paul used to say, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 be on the extreme dark side, this man was a 15. And in the documentary, he was talking about how he hones his craft 8 hours a day. That's what he does with his gift. John Paul looked at us and said, how serious are we? Do we hone our gift and work on it 8 hours a day? But that's what's waiting out in the highways and byways. Are we ready to go head-to-head with that? Elijah had to go through an unbelievable transition to prepare him for Mount Carmel to face off with the false prophets. What are we doing to prepare ourselves for our Mount Carmel? Does that make sense? But we're willing to help any way we can. So I know the weekend's not over, but we're going to have fun tomorrow morning too. So we'll talk a little bit more about the ministry of Jesus tomorrow. Let's all stand. And I know this couple here, you guys know that you're not called to the status quo or the ordinary. You two are called to be out of the box, creative with your gifting. And I just want to encourage you that when I see you both, your hearts are so true to the Lord that he wants me to tell you, well done, well done, well done. It hasn't been easy, but it's turned you into the warriors that you are going to become. And I want to encourage you, that warfare that keeps coming after you is being cut off right now. The Lord wants me to encourage you that warfare over your mind, will, and emotions is being broken. In fact, the enemy, I know from the Lord, has tried to take you out numerous times, but the Lord says, for such a time as this, has he protected you and saved you. And you are going to reap a harvest of young ladies that have gone through what you've been through and the warfare you've had to endure. You are going to reap a harvest. And there's a fiery evangelistic gift on your life. And I just want to bless that. Father, I bless that anointing on my sister. And I just feel music all around you also. There's a worshiper's heart inside of you that is ready to explode. And the Lord loves your heart. And there's a blessing and the favor of God that's resting on you and upon my brother. And there is a warrior's sword that God has saved for you, and he's going to release it to you at the right time. And you will be that leader that you desire to be. And you're going to provide leadership that you longed for as a young boy, and that you and what you've had to go through growing up. You are going to pass off, release something special to the next generation, and he's entrusting you with the next generation, and you're going to be a mighty leader of the next generation to lead them in the way that they should go. So I bless that heart that you have. You are a warrior. You are made for war. You are a prophetic evangelist in the making. So I bless that in you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Father, I bless this group. I bless the creativity that's formed here. And I bless the remnant that is here that have stuck with the leadership here. And Lord, I thank you that you have something special for this group and those that are yet to set foot in this church. Thank you for the future that awaits this leadership. Father, they've endured so much over the years, but they've not grown bitter. They've become better. And thank you that they have a heart for the next generation. And thank you for the creativity that is here waiting to be expressed. Thank you for the worship team that is here and the fruit that's going to come from this worship team that is hung in there for such a time as this. Thank you for what's going to come. Thank you for the creativity. Thank you for the favor that's upon this group. Thank you for the harvest that's going to come in this place as well. Thank you, Lord, that it's not about denominations, but it's about the kingdom of heaven that is going to be released here. So I bless the Holy Spirit. Just receive right now. There is a special anointing that God has for all of you. Just begin receiving. Father, would you begin to fill them to overflowing? Thank you, Lord. Many of them, Lord, dabbled in the things of the world like I did. And when I got saved, you said that I needed something radical. Lord, they need something radical. So I bless them right now in Jesus' name. I bless this family. I bless this man of God right here that you have something very special for. That he's a part of something that is going to have huge impact in this community. The Lord blesses you. Holy Spirit, fill him, fill him, fill him, fill him. Thank you for the healing that's in his hands. Thank you for the gift that he is. Thank you, Jesus. Increase, 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 increase. Lord, he's been waiting a long time. Fill him, fill him, fill him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this place that's becoming a freedom center where you're going to send those that need to get free. You're going to send the addicts here because they know this is a safe place. Thank you, Lord, that we would raise up those fish cleaners. Thank you, Father. And thank you for the songwriters. Thank you for the creativity in this man. And it's being inherited by the youth. Thank you, Father. All over the room. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Fresh infilling. And Father, thank you for the women of God here. There was something that happened in the early church that caused it to explode. And the reason was that a people group was liberated, and it was the women of God. Father, forgive the church that has held women back. Forgive the church that has squashed them down. We say, Lord, would you liberate your ladies, your women of God in this hour? Thank you. Thank you for them. And I bless the women of God in this place right now in Jesus' name, the blessing of heaven, the blessing of heaven, the blessing of heaven. The Lord says, be free to be all you've been created to be. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. Thank you for my sisters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Be free, be free, be free. Thank you, Father. I bless the spirit of prophecy in each individual here right now. And I say to the gift of prophecy in you, I say, rise up to the measure you've been called to walk in this day, this hour, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that it's in this man of God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you for these young men. Bless them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray tonight as they lay their heads on the pillow, I pray for dreams. Do you give them dreams tonight? And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding fill them from head to toe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.